This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A visit to what you might call whoshidingmoneyoverseas.org. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. The International Consortium of Investigative Journalists has just put online a searchable database of the leaked information from a Panamanian law firm. It's an interactive version of the so-called Panama Papers, a global list of people who set up offshore accounts and companies through a law firm called Mossack Fonseca. Marketplace's Jed Kim took the site for a spin. What'd you find?
Well, the database is pretty simple to use. It lets you search names, countries, jurisdictions. The results pop up connections between companies. Some look like spokes on a wheel, others like veritable dandelion puffs. Dozens of Americans have been linked to offshore companies, including former NFL player Leonard Gottschalk. He and others have been tied to fraud, though it's not exactly clear what Mossack Fonseca knew about their activities when it set up their businesses. One group of Americans based in the Pacific Northwest has been accused of defrauding Indonesian investors of tens of millions of dollars. Officials at the firm have said they've tended to steer clear of American clients. Part of that appears to be fear of prosecution by U.S. law enforcement agencies.
The German reporters who first got the info are not saying who leaked the stuff. Let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is up 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up about 0.5%. Later today, we'll know how much money Walt Disney made last quarter. Analysts will also be listening for any plans to find a successor for CEO Robert Iger, who's expected to step down the year after next. Iger's number two had abruptly announced he's leaving. Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
Disney's film division is on a roll, with Star Wars, Zootopia, The Jungle Book, and now Captain America, Civil War. Its theme parks are packed. But the company's success might actually make it harder to find a successor to Bob Iger.
They're big shoes to fill.
That's Pivotal Research analyst Brian Weiser.
The expectations are going to be high for whomever replaces them.
It's not just Iger's legacy a new CEO would have to contend with. It's the sheer size and scope of the $170 billion company.
Finding someone who will be able to grasp the responsibilities that go into this chair is going to be quite a challenge.
Josh Crist is managing director of Crist Colder Associates, an executive recruiting firm.
The onus is going to be on the board to try to check as many boxes as they can.
But he says any successor candidate is unlikely to be able to fill them all. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Hi, I'm David Brancaccio. Thank you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. A lot happens while you sleep, so each morning we bring you the latest numbers on markets, money, jobs, and innovation, plus the context I think we all need to make the smartest decisions. We'd like you to help us keep our numbers strong by making a tax-deductible gift to Marketplace. And this month, your gift in any amount will be automatically doubled thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from Lumen's Own Foundation. Donate today at marketplace.org. Now, a new installment of our election year series exploring ways for the U.S. to get serious about long-term opportunities and threats, the ones that don't fit into a single budget year or election cycle. The late writer and social critic Kurt Vonnegut hit me with this idea during a public TV interview.
Look, I'll tell you, it's one thing that no cabinet had ever had is a secretary of the future. And there are no plans at all for my grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Should the next president appoint a secretary of the future to consider how today's actions might play out in 20 or 50 years? Well, look what we found. Sweden already has one. Her title is Minister for Strategic Development and Nordic Cooperation. Part of Christina Persson's portfolio includes planning the workforce of the future, helping the environment, and working more closely with Sweden's immediate neighbors.
My mission is to see to it that there is a long-term perspective in the development of new ideas. So my role is to strengthen the long-term perspective and also by that the cross-sectorial perspective on policy development. Because if you think long-term, you have to also have a holistic view. So I think it's a perfect, a wonderful idea if the United States would have a minister for the future or the minister for strategic development. It would be wonderful if I had colleagues around the world.
We've actually found ministers of the future in the corporate setting. They call them corporate sustainability officers. And when we've spoken with several of them, they point out that their chief executive officer, their boss, has to be on board. Otherwise, nothing gets done. Do you feel you have the support you need from above?
I have, and I agree that it is absolutely, definitely a prerequisite. You could say that it should be the prime minister who is responsible and in charge of future issues or strategic development, but he is very much occupied with a lot of things on a daily basis, and he needs this support from somebody else close to him.
One U.S. presidential candidate told me, she has since dropped out of the race, it was Carly Fiorina, she told me that she worries that a secretary of the future would just add a layer of bureaucracy. Do you hear that sometimes in Sweden?
I think the problem is different. It's bureaucracy can be an obstacle for what I'm trying to do. This is a new mission, new role in government. The system is not adapted to my role. So what I want to do sometimes bump into bureaucratic problems or legal or other problems. And the lack of interest sometimes of the media of these long-term issues. People in general are very interested, but you reach only so many people by meeting them in person, in meeting conferences or seminars or and so on. You need to have the support of media. So communication is a challenge, not bureaucracy.
Sweden's Minister for Strategic Development, speaking from her office in Stockholm, Christina Persson, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, listeners, if the next U.S. president were to appoint a cabinet member to worry about future generations, what do you think should be job one? Share your idea at marketplace.org/secretary of the future if you could. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Beatty Jong. Our engineer this week is Charlton Thorpe. I'm David Brancaccio. The Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.